Just when we thought that the New York Yankees were ultimately doomed, they battle back and give us a glimmer of hope. The Yankees are coming off a week in which they swept the Toronto Blue Jays and took 2 of 3 from the Oakland Athletics, and we're here to recap it all for you. And hey, who doesn't like a good triple play? This Yankee team sure likes them. We're going to talk about that as well on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Boy, is it good to be back on the air. It was a hectic week for sure. As you know, I've said it before, I am a teacher. So last week of school vibes, it is not an easy week, but we are done. Our class has graduated. Congrats to the class of 2021. Very proud of all of them. But now it's time to get back to business and talk some more Yankees baseball. Just a week ago, talked on the show and I said it was time for a change. Aaron Boone not cutting it. Yankees were coming off a series in which they got swept in a 2-game set by the Philadelphia Phillies. And we knew, and we talked about at the end of our show last week, that this was a big week for the Yankees. They had 3 games coming up against the Toronto Blue Jays. Those were held in Buffalo, New York. And then you had 3 games against the Oakland Athletics, a team that had been playing really good baseball this year. And for the Yankees, it was obviously time to make a statement. And that is something that they were able to accomplish, sweeping the Blue Jays and taking 2 of 3 from the A's this past weekend. As always, we have a lot to talk about, so before we get into that, just a reminder, follow us on social media at PinstripeTalkND, my personal account at Nick Delahanty. You can also find our show on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our show is available on all podcasting platforms from Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. You know the deal. I'm spewing off a bunch of podcasting sites, but the thought remains the same. We are available anywhere and anywhere for you to tune in. Make sure you lock in, check out our show, and while you're at it, go to DelahantyMedia.com for all the latest news and updates surrounding our brand. We got a lot of great stuff happening with our brand. Make sure you check that out. Don't miss out. If you want to follow us on social media, just search up Delahanty Media. I'm sure you will find us on Facebook, on Instagram, you name it, we're there for you. Let's not waste any more time because I have been so anxious to get back on the airwaves. And you can ask anybody that I talk to, all my friends, my family members, even my students, all week. I said, you know what? I can't wait for this week to be over because I just want to be in front of my studio setup. I want to be in the Delahanty Media studio and I want to be talking about Yankees baseball as I kick off summer vacation. And you know what? It's been a great week for the Yankees. And maybe I might be a jinx here because I haven't been necessarily glued in live like I normally am, okay? With everything going on, obviously, you know, I tune into these games, especially the night games. I'm there and whatnot. But again, the weekend series against the A's, I tuned in and out. You know, I had John Sterling and Susan Wolman on. But, you know, maybe it's a trend. Maybe I should just go back to watching replays of the game and after the fact and, you know, getting the information that way to keep the Yankees on track. Regardless, let's start off against the Toronto Blue Jays. Going into the series, Yankees and Blue Jays were neck and neck in third place and fourth place, respectively, in the AL East. Yes, the Yankees are trying to catch up to the Red Sox and the Rays. And what better way to do that than to take a series against the Blue Jays on the road? A team that, let's face it, the Yankees have had trouble with early on this year. So let's jump right into game one, shall we? This series, dictated by clutch pitch hitting. Yankees go down early. Hernandez hits a sac fly. Yankees are down 1-0. Top of the second, Gary Sanchez, who has been incredible as of late. We're going to talk more about him as this show goes on. Homers to left field, tying up the ballgame. An inning and a half later, Bo Bichette, who seems to really be a nightmare for the Yankees, he hits a homer, makes it 2-1 Blue Jays. Chris Gittens finally gets on the board in the top of the fourth. He hits a home run. So now we had 3 home runs in just 4 innings of gameplay. Bottom half of the fourth, that's where things start to unravel for the Yankees. on a pass ball by Gary Sanchez. Joe Panic scores, making it 3-2, and then a Bichette single scores two more, and at that point, it's 5-2. Yankees are forced to play catch-up. In the top half of the sixth, the Yankees do add a run to their tally on an Andujar ground out. Scoring Urshela cuts the Blue Jays' lead to 5-3. Top of the seventh, here's where it gets interesting. Brett Gardner goes yard, 342 feet to right field, cuts the Blue Jays' lead to 5-4. On a wild pitch from Castro, LeMahieu scores the tying run, and then an inning later in the top of the eighth, Clint Frazier pinch hits for Brett Gardner, who hit the homer earlier, but Boone liked the matchup. Frazier comes in. Frazier comes up clutch, hits a double to left field. Tyler Wade scores. Yankees take a 6-5 lead, a lead that would hold up. That is your final. Yankees win the first game of the series 6-5. Let's look at the pitching. Jordan Montgomery pitched into the sixth inning, allowed 4 earned runs, 5 runs total on 5 hits. Only struck out 4, walked 4 in the process through 97 pitches. But from there, the Yankees bullpen was electric. Sessa came on for the final 2 outs of the sixth. He did not allow an earned run. Then you had Loaisiga. He came in for an inning, let up a couple of hits, but went unscathed. And then you had Britton in the eighth, Chapman in the ninth, ball game. Yankees pitching only accounted for 6 strikeouts, which is a little surprising considering the fact you saw Loaisiga, you saw Chapman, and usually Montgomery has a little bit more than 4 strikeouts, but nonetheless, they got the job done. On the other side, Hyunjin Ryu pitched 6 innings, allowed 3 runs. The Yankees ended up getting to Castro in the 7th, and then they tacked on another run in the 8th on that Frazier double. Of course, the numbers with runners in scoring position were still ugly. 1-for-9 for the Yankees, 2-for-8 for the Blue Jays. Both teams left 9 runners on base, but nonetheless, Yankees come out with the victory. Key offensive performer Sanchez with 2 hits in the middle of the order, and DJ LeMay, who had the top half, 2-for-4. As you saw in this series, and even moving into the A series, LeMay, who's starting to make harder contact, starting to find holes. Is this the resurgence of DJ LeMahieu? We can only hope so. So a big first win for the Yankees, especially after that ugly weekend series, as they move on into the middle of the series and try to secure at least a series victory. Game 2 of this series belonged to Gerrit Cole, and all the sticky stuff issues with him and how everybody's kind of making him the poster boy of the illegal substances. Cole shut the door on that. He went 8 strong. Allowed just 2 runs on 4 hits. Struck out only 4 in this game. Again, another game where you didn't see a lot of strikeouts from the Blue Jays offense, but the Yankees pitching was able to get the job done. Scoring started right away. In the top half of the first, a Giancarlo Stanton sack fly scored LeMahieu, giving the Yankees a 1-0 lead. It didn't take long for the Blue Jays to tie the game. Marcus Semien, who's having a monster season in his first year with the Blue Jays, hits a home run to left field, making it 1-1. It was very quiet until the bottom half of the fifth inning. Kevin Biggio, son of Craig Biggio, in case you didn't know that, homer to left center field, giving the Blue Jays a 2-1 lead. That's all the Blue Jays would get against Gerrit Cole and the Yankees pitching. In the top half of the seventh, another huge clutch pitch hitting performance from Gary Sanchez, a home run to left field scoring Andujar. Yankees take a 3-2 lead, and that would end up being your final. Yankees win game 2 of the series. Yankees secure at least a series victory against the Blue Jays, and you got to feel really good, even though the Yankees offense really didn't do much in this one, only 4 hits in total. The 2 blemishes against Cole were the home runs, the homer from Semien and the homer from Biggio. Other than that, Cole was really good, and then you turned it over to Chapman in the 9th. He let up a couple of runners on, but nonetheless was able to get out of the jam. So the Yankees win 3-2. The real big offensive standout was Sanchez with the home run. That was a big pinch hit. So in 2 games in a row, you got 2 really big pinch hits from the Yankees bench. Good for the Yankees to finally get some clutch hitting out of their offense. Game 3. This one was very interesting, to say the least. Having already secured the series victory, the Yankees turned the ball over to Michael King in this one. They end up winning the ball game 8-4. And securing the sweep, but they had to play catch-up once again. Before we get into that, though, there were some big defensive plays in this ball game. Let's start off with one from Aaron Judge in the 6th inning. Kevin Biggio hits a what looked to be a home run to right field, but Judge extended over the right field wall to get the out. A very big momentum swing, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute. But the big one, the Yankees turned yet another triple play, their second of the year. It is the first combination sequence for a triple play to be listed as this in a scorebook. It went down 1-3-6-2-5-6. So in case you're trying to keep up at home, started with the pitcher, to the first baseman, to the shortstop, to the catcher, to the third baseman, back to the shortstop. So a lot of moving parts there, and a lot of bad base running from the Blue Jays, but nonetheless, it got Michael King out of a very tricky jam. Give you a little hint, in case you didn't catch the Yankee series against the A's, it's not the last time we're going to be talking about a triple play this show. Let's take you through the scoring on this one. Top half of the second, Miguel Andujar hits a little dribbler to the catcher. Urshela scores on an error. The runners move up, but the Yankees take a 1-0 lead. That's all they would get in the inning. Top half of the third, Gio Urshela, the most happy fella, hits a home run. 2-run shot at that. 3-0 Yankees. The Blue Jays tack on in the third. They cut the lead to 3-2. And then in the bottom half of the fifth inning, they tie the game on a Semien groundout. They take the lead on a Randal Grichuk single in the bottom half of the sixth inning. And here's where the Kevin Biggio robbed home run comes into play. With the Blue Jays holding the lead, that would have gave them an extended lead. But Judge's miraculous play out there on right ended up paying dividends. Top half of the seventh inning, they get more clutch hitting. Giancarlo Stanton, it's a home run, giving the Yankees a 5-4 lead. That was followed by a Chris Gittens single, scoring two. Gittens, off the bench, had three RBIs in this one. And then in the top of the ninth, Gittens added to his RBI total with his sac fly, giving the Yankees an 8-4 lead, a lead that they would not relish at that. Yankees pitching. Michael King pitched into the fifth inning, only threw 60 pitches. Seemed like the Yankees still have a pitch count on him. He allowed 3 runs on 5 hits. The bullpen, once again, phenomenal. Lickey let up a run that wasn't earned. Other than that, Green, silenced. Loaisiga, silenced. Britton, nothing from him in the ninth. And the Yankees go on to sweep their division rival by a score of 8-4. So a really, really important series for the Yankees. Couple of things to point out. Number one, the triple play, the second one that they turned this year. As much as they like to hit into double plays, they do also do a nice job of turning triple plays. They might be the team of triple plays. We'll have to wait and see if they could turn any more this year. Runners in scoring position, still not very good. 2-for-11 in Game 3, not really good numbers overall throughout the series, something that you would hope they would clean up. And if you're looking at it as a whole, you got to be really impressed with what Gary Sanchez is doing at the plate. He's been really hitting the cover off the ball, and it's a good sign to see him hopefully getting back on track, because think about it. You see all these posts about Sanchez possibly going to the All-Star game. A couple of weeks back, there were people calling for his starting job. So good for Gary. It's a really big boost for the Yankees lineup, and hopefully he can continue the trend. And of course, you know, you go on the road against a division rival, you got to take the series, especially given how bad the Yankees have been struggling going into this series. I'm sure for Aaron Boone and his club, it was a real big momentum boost for them as they go into a weekend series against an Oakland A's team that we talked about that, you know, is no slouch whatsoever. A lot of people thought that they may not be good this year, but nonetheless, they are one of the more impressive teams throughout the sport. Game one did not go in the Yankees' favor. They dropped this one 5-3. Jameson Taillon was on the mound for the Yankees. He couldn't get through five innings. Although his pitches looked a lot better and you noticed a lot more sinker action than fastball and he was trying to change things up, still having trouble getting that swing and miss mentality from the other team, especially with two strikes. Seems like he gets into two strike counts and can't finish them off. He did have 5 strikeouts in this game, but nonetheless, his day was rather short. Peralta comes in and he got roughed up a bit, allowing 3 earned runs, and that's all the A's would do against the Yankees pitching. Lickey and Sessa came in to pitch the final 3 innings of the ballgame to close it out. Right away, Matt Olson, who's actually on my fantasy team having a monster year, of as much as I wanted him to do well, I didn't want him to really torment the Yankees, but nonetheless, it kind of helped me in both ways. Olson hits a home run to right. It's 1-0 A's. Top of the third, you have a Mark Canna single making it 2-0. Yankees tie the game on a DJ LeMahieu homer in the third, and then take the lead on an Odor homer in the fifth. And then the deciding blow, a Tony Kemp home run to right field, scoring 3, and right there, 5-3 is your final. Former Yankee farmhand James Caprylan was on the mound for the A's. Remember, he was dealt to the A's in the Sonny Gray trade, a guy who has been full of injuries throughout his career, but he's back and he's pitching rather well. Had 7 strikeouts in this one, went into the 6th inning. The Yankees got a couple of runs off of him, but then they were silenced by the A's bullpen, and that was your final. Yankees only had 2 opportunities to hit with runners in scoring position, and if you were trying to guess, they were 0-for-2 in those situations. Only left 2 guys on base because they only had 4 hits as a unit, 2 walks, so only 6 guys reached base. No real standouts offensively. The 2 guys who hit the homers, you had LeMahieu homer, you had Odor, like we mentioned earlier. Other than that, the Yankees really did not get much done. So after an impressive sweep against the Blue Jays, the Yankees kind of throw up a dud in the first game against the A's and look to the final 2 games of the series to try to bounce back. Game 2, Yankees go into this one, like we said, trying to get back on track. And unfortunately, Domingo Germán really did not have it in this one. Only lasted 4 innings, allowed 4 runs on 7 hits, struck out 6, but just really was not sharp, to say the least. Not all heroes wear capes, but in our mind, Nestor Cortes is a hero that has a cape. Brilliant, brilliant performance from him. He comes into the ballgame in the 5th. He goes 3 scoreless innings through 50 pitches to get through those 3 innings, recorded 9 outs, only allowed 1 hit and 1 walk. He really deserves the player of the game for this one because he kept the Yankees in the ballgame at a point where you could have thought the game could have got out of reach. Cortes is the main reason why the Yankees were able to get back into this one and win it. Let's take you through scoring. Tony Kemp continued to torture the Yankees with a home run to right field. That was followed 3 innings later by a Matt Chapman homer to center field, dead center field to be exact. Bottom half of the 4th, the Yankees get on the board with a Gio Urshela single to center field, scoring Judge. At that point, it was 2-1 A's. Matt Olson, RBI single in the 5th, made it 4-1, that scored 2, and then the rest was essentially the Yankees game. Bottom of the 6th, Gary Sanchez homer. I told you we were going to talk a lot about him today, makes it 4-2. Bottom of the 7th, Yankees officially tied a game, a Judge single and a Stanton single make it 4-4. Bottom of the 8th, here's where the Yankees take the lead for good. Urshela home run to center field. A couple batters later, LeMahieu single to left, scoring Wade, and Frazier makes it 7-4 Yankees. The A's did tack on a run in the 9th, but nonetheless were unable to catch up. 7-5 is your final. We talked about Cortes. Brilliant work out of him. And then you got Green, who ended up getting the win in this one. He struck out the side, followed by a rather shaky inning from Chapman. But nonetheless, the Yankees go on to win this one 7-5. And they had a big matchup on the mound. Chris Bassitt has been one of the better pitchers in the game. A lot of people really don't know who he is, but they, if you look at the numbers, he's been among the league's best at what he does. And although the Yankees didn't do much of their damage against him, they were able to get a win on a day where he pitched. It's kind of like when Cole pitches for the Yankees. It's kind of a wasted day if you don't win that ball game. So nonetheless, it's a great way to even up the series as you go into Game 3 looking for a series victory. And Jordan Montgomery was on the mound for the Yankees, and he was really good pitching into the 6th inning. He got a lot of swing and misses on his changeup, 10 to be exact. That's a career high. Struck out 6 in the process. The only blemish he allowed was a home run in the top of the 1st to who other than Matt Olson. I really should have benched him this weekend, kind of jinxed him in a way, but nonetheless, he really dominated the Yankees, had a good series. And the Yankees' only offense came in the bottom of the 6th on a Gary Sanchez RBI double. You remember seeing the replay. This is the play where he ran to third base and Matt Chapman couldn't tag him. It was really bad base running from Sanchez, but nonetheless, he was safe, ruled a double, and advanced on the throw to home. But that was all the offense you got in this one. Sean Manaea on the other side had 11 strikeouts into the 6th inning. He went 5 1/3 to be exact. And then Sergio Romo and Bedrosian came in to pitch the final 2 2/3 for the A's. And other than the damage done against Manaea in that 6th inning before he was pulled, the Yankees offense really didn't do much as well. The big play of this one, Aroldis Chapman comes on to pitch the ninth inning, and he clearly did not have it. Walked the first two batters. The Yankees training staff actually came out to the mound to check on Chapman to see if he was all right. He stays in the game. Apparently, there was some finger issue or something. But nonetheless, the next batter hits into a 5-4-3 triple play. The Yankees turn yet another triple play. And they are one of just 12 teams in Major League Baseball history with three triple plays in a season. Literally unbelievable. And at that point, we're sitting there, and I'm watching a game, and I'm excited, you know. I'm hoping that Chapman doesn't blow the lead. And I'm watching the game, and I'm saying to myself, you know, this team is really good at turning triple plays. If you get a ground ball to Urshela, they definitely could turn it. And sure enough, that's what happened. It's the first game-ending triple play since August 23rd of 2009 when Eric Bruntlett of the Phillies turned an unassisted triple play to beat the Mets. And even though Chapman had a finger or fingernail issue, the Yankees defense did him justice and helped him out. Now my question to you all is, can we turn another triple play this year? Now I'm really excited to see if they can, because I think that it's a possibility. The Yankees could be the official team of the triple play. That would be pretty incredible, to say the least. But some side notes. Number one, Yankees win two important series to get them back on track. After this one, they're 38-33 on the year. Now five games over 500, just 4.5 out of the division. A lot better than that 8 games or 7.5 games that they were sitting at when we last spoke. So it's very good, very exciting. Hopefully they can keep it up and continue to chip away at that American League East Division lead that the Red Sox are closely holding over the Tampa Bay Rays. Side note, Jonathan Loaisiga is an all-star. I don't care how you want to spin it. Jonathan Loaisiga is an all-star. He's been dominating this year. Get the guy a trip to Colorado. He deserves it. And Gary Sanchez, the way he's been playing, should be there with him. The Yankees have three representatives. Sanchez, Loaisiga, and Judge. And obviously Cole, but I would rather save Cole's bullets for when we need him. So yeah, we'll go four. I don't want to offend anybody. We'll go four. They should really have four guys at the All-Star game. They'll probably end up getting two. They'll get Judge and Cole, but Loaisiga should get the nod. He's been that good this year. Speaking of Sanchez and Cole, I want to see Gary Sanchez catch Cole. The way he's hitting, you got to have Sanchez in the lineup. And you want to keep Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup as well. But there's only one DH spot, and you can't have a special hitter for any of your players. I would love that rule, because then you could play Higashioka behind the plate, let Sanchez hit for him. Best of both worlds. Nonetheless, can't do it. I want to see Cole pitch to Sanchez. I understand that he likes his personal catcher. I get that. But I want to see it work. What happens if Higashioka goes down? Gary's going to have to catch Cole at some point. And obviously, we're not hoping that Higashioka gets hurt. We love watching him play and whatnot, but you have to think of the what-ifs. Let Gary catch Cole and see what happens, especially the way he's hitting. You know, you can't complain about run support for Cole if the guy who's your hottest hitter is sitting on the bench. So I would like to see that. And my final thought, you're probably going to get sick of me for talking about this guy because you know I absolutely love him, but you cannot expect Clint Frazier to thrive if he's not playing every day. How could you play Clint Frazier every day, you ask? Here's my answer. Give Clint at-bats in center field. The guy played over 300 games in the minor leagues in center field. You run Aaron Judge out in center field. Clint can't handle it? I think he can. Give him a chance to play center field. And on days where you might want to play Gardner, play him in right field, give Judge a day off, or play him in left, give Andujar a day off. See what this guy can do over a stretch of time where he sees consistent at-bats. I just feel like Frazier is falling out of favor with the Yankees organization, and they're more content with playing Gardner in center field every day, and Andujar's been hitting well, so they're going to keep him in the lineup. But they have all these expectations for Frazier, and the minute he does something wrong, it just seems like he goes to the doghouse and doesn't get the opportunity to get out of it. I just want to see him get that opportunity. So I'm going to direct this at Aaron Boone. Mr. Boone, I know you don't make all the decisions. I know there's analytical garbage that you guys listen to. But all I'm asking, give Clint 2 weeks where you play him a couple of days in center field, play him all over the outfield, let him play. See if he could get hot. If he doesn't get hot, if you see that it continues to struggle, I'll be okay with you playing Brett Gardner every day, and you won't hear me say anything that goes against that. But give him the opportunity. That's all I'm asking from you, because I do think that he has some potential, and I think that Yankee fans are getting tired of him, but I am still on the Clint train. I think that he could figure it out, but he needs the opportunity to play every day. You said going into the year he was your starting left fielder, but now he's been inclined to a bench role, and, you know, that just doesn't make sense to me. So, please, give him the opportunity. That's all I ask. Signed, a concerned Yankee fan about Clint Frazier. Yes, I am concerned about my guy. I want him to thrive here. I really think he can. That's going to wrap up today's show. Yankees have another series against the Royals this week, and obviously, we're going to recap that once that's done before the Yankees head to Fenway for an important, I mean very important, three-game set against their arch rival as they continue to try to creep up the American League East Division standings. In case you missed it at the beginning of the show, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our show on any podcasting platform of your choice. Apple Podcasts and Spotify work for us, but hey, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio may be the way for you. We don't judge. We love Aaron Judge. And you know what? You guys listen in. We thank you for your continued support. If you're new to our show, we thank you for tuning in, and we are so happy to have you aboard. We hope you come back for more. And, of course, follow us on social media to interact with us about everything that's going on with the New York Yankees. Once again, my name is Nick Delahanty, and I am your proud host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. Stay tuned for more content. Check out our brand for more shows from our many partners now. Yes, we have a handful of great shows coming your way. Make sure you stay tuned for that. The Delahanty Media brand is growing by the day. Make sure you jump on board now. As always, we like to wrap up our show by telling you this very simple message. Let's go Yankees. And hopefully we have some more Yankees wins to talk about over the next couple of days. Until next time, see you real soon, everyone. Take care. And as always, like we said before, let's go Yankees.